From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
El Cerrito,
Union Square,
San Francisco,
South of Market,
from Albany,
Hayes Valley,
Rock Ridge, in Oakland.
I'm from the Civic Center. I live across the street.
Today we'll meet some ordinary people doing extraordinary things, like surfing massive waves.
I can't even speculate on the height, but it looked like, you know, a 10-story building. It was probably, you know, not even half that size, but that's the way it feels.
Then we'll get into the science behind sports fans' extraordinary devotion to even the worst teams.
The coach, like, winds up and slams his headset into the ground, and everybody else in the stadium is just hushed, and everybody else is standing there with their jaw open and their hands on their head.
We'll also find out where this extraordinary ruckus was recorded. Stay with us for this special hour-long edition of Cross Currents. And joining me in studio today for a special edition of our show is Rob Bedecker of the hilarious San Francisco comedy troupe Casper Hauser. Hi, Rob. He's going to be my co-host today.
Hi, Holly. Thrilled to be here. Thank you.
We are so excited to have you. Okay, we're going to hear today about regular people overcoming all sorts of obstacles, and a common challenge people encounter in life is finding a career and obtaining, you know, the necessary education to succeed in that career. And your Casper Hauser's latest book seems like it might have some advice about that. It is called Earn Your MBA on the Toilet, Unleash Unlimited Power and Wealth from Your Bathroom. And I say it seems like because I haven't actually read this book. And the reason is, Rob, that you said you would send it to me and then you didn't actually send it to me. So yeah. You can issue an apology right now if you'd like to do that.
Follow through is one of the key things that MBAs, that you'll learn in our book. And I really fell on my face right away.
But what's important is that it's written in the book that follow through is important.
I think so.
Yeah.
I meant to put it in there. And it's a key skill. And it points out just what happens if you don't follow through.
So what's nice is I didn't have to read your book to prepare for this interview.
But
I thought maybe you could fill in some of the details for me. So what would you say to listeners who really want to secure a quality, you know, education while, you know, sitting in their bathroom, for example? Is that a possibility for somebody? Can you really earn your MBA this way?
How does it happen? It's not only a possibility, it's an inevitability. These days, we're all pressed for time. And one of the few opportunities we have to learn to get a higher education is in those moments when previously we would have just been doing one thing. Now we can concentrate on higher education and learning the key skills.
Multitasking is really what you're talking about then.
Yeah.
And so is your advice to people that really paying for a higher education, except for the cost of this book, is not a good bargain? What do you say to the young people listening now?
The world has changed, and the old brick and mortar institutions are not going to be with us much longer.
Except for public radio. Okay, good.
Thank you. Yeah. There are new ways to make things happen, and earning your MBA in alternative forms is part of that future.
So, do you think you could give us just a couple of nuggets before we go to our first story on Cross Currents?
Absolutely. I think that a lot of people will be wondering, should I pursue an MBA or should I pursue metal detecting? Because
exactly what I was thinking.
Right. So we address that right off the bat and talk about some of the pros and cons of scanning the beach for coins, digging in sand to find buried treasure, or learning things like accounting and finance.
I mean, they're similar though, right?
Both of them result in huge paydays for the successful entrepreneur. And one of the things we talk about is how to spell that word, entrepreneur. It's vexed people at the MBA level all the way down to junior high school and beneath. How do you spell that word consistently and with confidence?
how to spell with confidence? Is that a tenet of your book?
It's implied. And I think the attentive reader will come out more confident in just about everything, including spelling.
All right. Well, you are listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan here with my co-host, Rob Bedecker. He is with the comedy troupe Casper Hauser, and he is going to be with us for the entire hour of Cross Currents. And you can actually get your MBA during this hour of Cross Currents. Rob will send you a certificate. Is that, you'll sign it?
Yeah, it's a certificate you can wear on your face.
Nice.
It says you're an MBA. And if you have a job interview, if you have a big meeting coming up, put it front and center and let people know your credentials.
And just kind of a note for our listeners. listeners, Rob is not that great with follow through, so he may not actually send you that certificate, but you can get your MBA during this hour of Cross Currents. So continue to listen as we go to our first story. Our first story presents one of the biggest obstacles we all face sometime in our lives, fear. Jamal Yogis was 29 years old when he went through his first big heartbreak. He found himself face to face with his fears of both commitment and abandonment. And he chose to deal with them in a pretty extreme way. KALW's Martina Castro explained how at a live storytelling event earlier this spring. Let's listen.
So we all eventually figure out a way to bounce back from our first heartbreak. Jamal's, though, was different.
You know, breakups trigger so many of our fears, like our fear of rejection, our fear of not being good enough, our fear of failing. They trigger fears that we watched our parents deal with when they were arguing or divorcing.
And those fears inspired Jamal to turn his heartbreak into a personal quest. He would get to the bottom of why he was so afraid, why all of us are, and find strategies for changing that. Maybe if he could learn to keep his fears in check, he could avoid heartbreak number two. So he interviewed neuroscientists, sports psychologists, extreme athletes, and it turns out
the number one way to deal with fear, as most of the neuroscientists told me, is exposure therapy.
Exposure therapy. In other words, just do what you're afraid of. So he tried it. He had always been afraid of the murky, shark-infested waters of the bay. So he swam to Alcatraz and back. Then he dove near the Farallon Islands and through a cage came face to face with a shark the size of an Airstream trailer. Yep. And believe it or not, he got over his fear of the bay and of sharks. And after he forced himself to go out on a few dates, before long, he started feeling better about himself. He even met someone new. But among all of his fears, there was one big one. And I mean four stories tall big. That would really put Jamal's fear project to the test. Mavericks. If you surf in Northern California, or pretty much anywhere in the world, this is the wave that separates big wave surfers from the rest. It only appears under just the right conditions, down near Half Moon Bay. And when it breaks, it can create waves up to 80 feet tall.
If you grew up surfing in the 90s, like when Mavericks was discovered, I mean, Mavericks was a huge deal. It was like all of Mount Everest had been hiding, and all of a sudden, people found it.
Jamal grew up with posters of Mavericks on his walls and reading about it in Surfer magazine.
It was my one dream, was like getting to surf and live a surfer's lifestyle. But Mavericks was like this thing that I would never personally do.
Fast forward 20-some years, and Jamal is a pretty competent surfer. For the first time ever, the thought enters his brain that maybe with the techniques he's learned to combat fear, he can actually take on Mavericks. It meant doing some seemingly counterproductive work, like
watching the scariest movies I could about Mavericks. Like, they have some YouTube videos where it's like Metallica music and then like shows all these terrible falls. And so I would watch some of those and then I would go out and surf waves that I felt confident on at Ocean Beach.
After months of this, the day came when conditions were just right for Mavericks to break. And Jamal had a decision to make. Do it now or let the fear build indefinitely. So he got in his car and drove to Half Moon Bay.
I don't know if I'd ever been so physically scared. Like, I was really scared. I was like couldn't eat scared.
He told himself all he had to do was get in the water. And he did. He paddled out on his big surfboard to where he could catch this wave and then sat there for a really long time. I mean, would you blame him?
It really does feel like the whole ocean is just tipping and that you somehow are descending down the face of the ocean. And you sense that power in it, that if you fall, it's going to not let you go until it wants to, and you have no control in the matter.
After 2 hours of sitting, a huge set of waves came in.
I can't even speculate on the height, but it looked like, you know, a 10-story building. It was probably, not even half that size, but that's the way it feels.
He quickly realized he was going to have to dive under and get pummeled by this mountain of water hurling itself right at him.
People die here, you know, like professional surfers die here.
That's why it's so hard to do what surfers are supposed to do in this situation. Relax.
I absolutely did not relax. I just scrambled.
Well, the important thing is that after all that scrambling, he did eventually make it up to the surface.
And it was really that making it up and back and thinking, okay, it happened there. Like, that's what it's like.
So he paddled back out there to join the other surfers. But another couple of hours went by.
And I realized that what I was trying to do is I was waiting for this moment where it suddenly felt good to paddle down one of these waves. And it just never was.
And then something clicked for him.
I became so angry and frustrated that I had to surrender. And I remember that turning point and saying, okay, I'm going to leave today having ridden a wave. And that's going to happen by me taking all this anger and frustration and fear and using it.
And as if the ocean were responding, within seconds of making this decision, a wave came right to him. This time, he went for it.
I stood up, and from there, it's just like everything goes white, you know, in terms of you're not thinking, but I got into the wave early, so it was right before it truly hit the reef. That's the feeling of like the whole ocean going, and then you see where you're going, and it's like, well, I'm going way down there, like, hello. You're just going so fast, you know, you hear the whistle of wind in your ears, and it's like,
in a matter of seconds, Jamal covers the distance of about a football field. And after he skims off the surface of that wave,
it took about 10 seconds for me to kind of realize, like, oh my gosh, you know, that thing that I've been wondering and dreaming about since the age of 12 just happened.
When you succeed at something like this, something you truly never thought you could do, Jamal says you're filled with this euphoric feeling of triumph that spreads to every doubt, every fear you could be holding inside you.
For that period, you just feel like there's nothing in the world that could ever hurt you, you know?
And that brings us back to that new someone Jamal met after he forced himself to start dating again.
I remember thinking to myself, like, I'd been grappling with this anxiety about commitment and being in love with my girlfriend, but not knowing if I wanted to propose or could.
Sound familiar? So when Jamal met Amy, he instantly realized that she wasn't like Sarah or any of the other women he had dated. Amy was from a different tribe than Jamal. She was from the East Coast. This was a challenge for him, and he liked it. Slowly, Amy and Jamal grew closer, fell in love, and moved in together. Everything was going great, but Jamal got that feeling again, that familiar fear. Could he make this work? Would he end up getting hurt again? Well, after surfing Mavericks that day, he just...
I just knew, like, I can do this, and I will do it.
See, it turns out, and this is another thing Jamal learned in his research, if fear is what paralyzes us, love is what moves us.
Anytime you're in love, you have a lot of oxytocin in your system, and oxytocin is this neurochemical that they've shown in study helps counteract the freezing response of fear. And the amazing thing is you can actually, you know, you or I can close our eyes and think of someone we love, and we actually get a little hit of oxytocin if we really take the time to feel it.
Jamal's fear project led him to conquer some pretty extraordinary fears, but they were just training for facing down some of life's most ordinary fears, like of commitment and abandonment, or simply the unknown. Jamal and Amy are now married with their first child. He still has fears, but now he treats them kind of like waves.
I have to catch them before I mess it all up.
KALW's Martina Castro told that story live at our recent Hear Hear performance at the Victoria Theater in San Francisco. She learned about Jamal Yogis' incredible surfing story from his book, The Fear Project. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. Coming up, we'll experience athletic feats from a different perspective, the spectators. And we've actually got another chance for folks to conquer something here if they can guess the sound in this special round of our weekly audiograph game. Every week on KALW, we play a mystery sound recorded somewhere in the Bay Area, and we ask listeners to call in with their guesses. One lucky caller with the right answer gets a t-shirt. Well, we added a bonus sound last week during Thursday's Cross Currents, and we'll play it now to give folks one last chance to call in and guess. Just a reminder, this is a special audiograph bonus edition for our spring membership campaign. If you want to make a guess, and if you think you know what that sound was and where it was recorded, give us a call at 800-525-9917. Again, that number is 800-525-9917. We'll reveal the winner a little later on Cross Currents, but you can make a guess for audiograph and be part of our spring membership campaign right now. 1-800-525-9917. And we're going to reveal the answer in just a few minutes. You're listening to a special edition of Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and with us in studio we have Rob Bedeker from the San Francisco comedy troupe Casper Hauser. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Holly.
Okay, so you get to be our live audiograph player. Are you ready to play our game?
Oh, yeah.
So you just heard that sound.
Yep.
Do you have a guess?
Yeah, I heard people chanting. I heard whistles.
Good ear, good ear.
I'm going to say the Maker Faire.
That's an excellent, excellent guess. No, I think that's a terrible, terrible guess. No, there is no such thing as a terrible guess. If you would like to make a guess, you can call us at 800-525-9917. It's also where people are answering the phones for our spring membership campaign, so
oh,
you can make
convenient.
A guess. Isn't that convenient? We play the game, and you can, you know,
you didn't do a separate phone number for this?
No, we don't want to.
You guys are smart.
We want to keep one number, keep it consistent.
What
so people can.
What is it?
It's 525, oh, it's 1-800-525-9917. Let's see if you can remember that.
It's 525-9917. Is there any kind of toll for that number?
It's a toll-free number.
Oh, it's toll-free.
Yes.
Toll-free. So it's an 800 number.
It's an 800 number. Okay. Would you like to try and see if your brain has remembered that?
Yeah, 525-9917. I didn't look at the sign.
So I've already told you that audiograph, this is a special edition of the game just for our spring drive. Now, we are going to give you a hint, which is that Rob was wrong with his guess. What was your guess? We're going to give you another guess.
I guess the Maker Faire.
Yes, that's wrong. So don't call up and guess the Maker Faire.
Okay.
We're going to give you a second guess, Rob.
It's the first day of school at UCSF Veterinary School.
That is such a good guess. Was it the absence of any animals that led you to that conclusion?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they were all getting ready for...
It was a nervous energy. There were a lot of whistles.
Right.
Yeah.
You're remarkably good at this game.
I'm setting the bar low. I want to encourage people.
That's nice. Okay, so if you have a guess, you can call 1-800-525-9917. And while you're there, you can also be part of our spring membership drive. And if you get the right answer, which we will reveal, we will have a listener that we will say on air, and you'll win a Cross Currents t-shirt. These are coveted t-shirts, by the way, limited edition, and an audiograph poster. So these are big stakes, Rob.
Wow. So why wouldn't somebody try? I mean, what would stop you?
There's no reason at all.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't even believe in wrong answers, except the ones that you just gave are wrong.
Yeah.
But everybody else is a winner because they can become a member of this radio station.
Well, I tried, and I didn't have to have the right answer. That's the message here. Call. Give it a try.
And you could still become a member regardless of whether or not you win the audiograph game. And you can even get a t-shirt. Actually, that's a thing that we could give you if you become a member.
It's a win-win.
Yeah,
win,
it's a super win, and keep winning
win
kind of a situation. Yes, something you might talk about in your MBA book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about how to win.
So people might not know this. My co-host today, I'm Holly Kernan. You're listening to Cross Currents. And my co-host is Rob Bedeker of Casper Hauser. And he is something of an expert in the public radio world, and especially about fundraising for public radio. Right, Rob?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. A lot like he's an expert on MBAs, right?
Yeah. It's that same kind of confidence that really lends one expertise.
So what's your philosophy? Really, what works to get people who are listeners to make that leap to become a member?
Well, I know we may be coming from different places, because I do believe a certain amount of guilt and peer pressure has to be a part of it. I'm all for positive energy, but come on, this is a responsibility. And as a supporter, you've got to step up.
So you're basically saying that the KALW approach is all wrong, because we went with the kinder, gentler approach to the pledge drive.
I like that a lot, and I think you guys are on the right track. But
so,
I don't
so you're
wanna...
a member? Is that accurate?
I'm. You know what? I am. I forgot the book, and I forgot to pledge.
Rob, are you coming out and saying that you came here to be my co-host to help us with this spring membership drive, and you're not actually a member?
Which proves my point. I need a little bit of the stick, not just the carrot. I need a little peer pressure. I need a little guilt. And I'm, look, let me be honest. I'm lazy.
Okay. So what did, okay. So let's have you talk to yourself.
Okay.
What would you say to somebody like yourself who's, you know, fence-sitting? I like to listen.
Yeah.
I know I like KALW. I even like the way you're doing your membership drive, but I'm not a member.
Okay.
Make me a member.
I'm going to call myself John. And if your name happens to be John, take this to heart. But I would say, John, you listen to KALW every day. It's a part of your life. It's a part of what defines your existence here in San Francisco Bay Area, and yet you've failed as a citizen, as a responsible contributor, to really get behind something that you value. Why is that? Give me a good excuse, because I'm not hearing it from you, John. Why haven't you supported KALW? All your friends have, all your colleagues have called in, and yet you continue to ignore this.
Maybe you should give out the number for John.
John, here it is. 800-525-9917. Do it now, John. You can even go online, KALW.org, and just unburden yourself.
So I have an idea, Rob.
Yeah.
John.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the good cop membership drive, and you do the bad cop, and let's see who people call for.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So the number, if you're listening, and obviously if you're hearing my voice, you're listening, is 800-525-9917. at KALW, we decided we would make this pledge drive super short and not interrupt programming and keep it entertaining and just, you know, really say, listen, you're an adult. You get it. That's how we keep this station on the air. That's how we keep innovating. That's how we bring you the programming that you love. So if that's something that you believe in, go to KALW.org and say you like The Good Cop. Or call 800-525-9917 right now. We're going to go back to another story from Crosscurrents. Just a moment. You can continue to go to KALW.org while we go back to the program. But first, I would like you to hear from the bad cop.
Okay. I'm going to talk to Susan this time. Susan, are you out there? Get rid of your guilt. You're doing the wrong thing, Susan. You're riding on the generosity of other people. You listen to KALW and you have not contributed. If you're guilty about that, you should be, because it's the wrong thing. You need to step up and do the right thing. Come on, Susan. Come on, John. Do the right thing.
Tell him how.
1-800-525-9917, KALW.org. You'll feel so much better.
Vote for the good cop or the bad cop. Play the audiograph game, and we will be back to reveal the winner very soon. I'm Holly Kernan here with Rob Baedeker, and we are bringing you Crosscurrents, and let's go back to our next story.
I've paid my dues time after time.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan, and we'll start the next segment with a voice you might recognize.
Hi, I'm Sergio Romo, closer for the San Francisco Giants. You might remember last fall when we beat the Detroit Tigers for four straight games to win the World Series. Why did we sweep? Well, Marco Scudero knocked in a tie-breaking run in the 10th inning of the final game, and yeah, I struck out the Tigers' best hitter to end the whole thing. But you want to know the real reason we clinched the series so quickly? It's because shorter is better. Like KALW, the Giants know that when you have a goal, you should achieve it quickly.
Indeed. Well, the Giants are doing pretty well again this season. Their concessionaires are not. At least not according to their union. About 750 vendors, prep cooks, dishwashers, and other employees of food service provider Centerplate haven't received a raise since 2009, the year before the Giants won their first World Series title. And according to union rep Niskit Hegde, they've been operating without a contract for more than 3 years.
When you have a team that's gone up in value by 40%, when you've got ticket sales that have been ticket costs that have increased, the cost of a hot dog that's increased, the cost of a beer that's increased, the only thing that hasn't increased is their wages.
Centerplate says its employees at AT&T Park receive an average of $15 to $20 an hour with the potential for health care for their families if they work enough events. After new contract negotiations stalled last week, the union authorized a 5-day strike which could begin any time. The baseball team is back in town today to start a homestand against the Washington Nationals. A contingency plan is in place to serve the fans if concessionaires walk. The Giants have sold out 187 consecutive games. It's the longest streak in the big leagues. And when it comes to professional sports, the Bay Area on the whole is having remarkable success of late. The Giants have won 2 of the last 3 World Series. The A's made the postseason. The 49ers came within a play of winning the Super Bowl. Even the Golden State Warriors and the San Jose Sharks have had deep playoff runs this month. Whether or not you care about that, you have to admit, being a fan is quite a phenomenon. Millions of people are crazy about sports, whether or not their teams are any good. Exactly why that is the subject of Eric Simmons' new book, The Secret Lives of Sports Fans, The Science of Sports Obsession. Simmons sat down with KALW's Ben Trefney to talk about the chemistry of fandom, starting with Simmons' least favorite sports experience.
2007, October, UC Berkeley football team, really, really good team, tons of stars, ranked number 2 in the country, playing at home on homecoming against an unranked team from Oregon State that's like, Oregon State. Cal goes down early and then makes this inspiring comeback. The freshman quarterback is filling in for the injured starter, and it's just this 10 seconds left, and they're on the 8-yard line, and they go for one last play, and the collective unconscious is feeling like this is destiny right here. This is what we were meant for. Finally, none of us have ever seen this happen, and we're going to see it now. And then the 18-year-old makes a mistake, which 18-year-olds do, and he runs with the ball instead of throwing it. He's tackled. The clock keeps running. They have no timeouts left. The game is over. They lose by 3 points, like 8 yards away from destiny. And I remember, like, really distinctly, I'm standing there with my hands on my head. Just, my mouth is open. You know, I'm like literally jaw-dropping. And everybody else in the stadium is just hushed, and everybody else is standing there with their jaw open and their hands on their head. Like, why does this always happen to us?
Well, that's a good question, and that's kind of what you're exploring in this book. And so why do people, even if their teams are terrible or lose all the time and give them all this heartbreak, why do people continue to put themselves through it?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it took me a while to kind of wrap my head around, kind of going to all these different areas of science and psychology. But I think it's actually a fairly pleasing answer, which is that the winning and the losing doesn't matter quite as much as it sometimes feels like it does. And what's important to us is pride and identity and loyalty and love, and these things that, you know, make us what we are and make us human and are more important to us than the team winning or losing.
Well, we'll get to some of those aspects of what fandom means beyond the winning and losing. But I want to get into some of the science that you talk about, because you look at this from a real scientist's perspective. When Cal blew that game, what do you think was going through your body chemically?
So the first place you look is testosterone, which it's really interesting. It appears to be only in men that this changes this much. But in men who are watching their favorite teams, your testosterone basically looks like the athlete's testosterone. If they win, your testosterone probably goes up. If they lose, it probably goes down. And it's this kind of amazing thing where no matter how removed you are from the action, you know, no matter how much you're just sitting there on your couch doing nothing, your hormones are kind of reacting like they're playing the game too.
Because you actually say that you usually watch games by yourself. You know,
yeah.
You don't go out to a bar or to a buddy's place that often. So even despite that, when you're sitting on your couch and there's nobody even around to share with, you're having the same chemical reactions as the athletes?
Yeah. In a lot of experiments, it seems pretty clear that vicarious or directly competing doesn't matter. Your testosterone responds to winning and losing.
That's Eric Simmons. He's the author of The Secret Lives of Sports Fans, The Science of Sports Obsession. And he is from Castro Valley. He's a Cal grad. He's a Sharks fan, San Jose Sharks, and he lives in San Francisco. So one thing you get at in this book is about identity. You actually have sections about relationships, love, addiction, and identity. I kind of want to get to the identity thing. The team that I'm interested in talking with you about, you talk at length about in your book, is the Oakland Raiders, who are really no good. but they've got the most identifiable fan base maybe in all of football, and you met a lot of them. So first off, Eric, I'd like you to tell me who the key components of the Raider Nation, the Black Holers, are.
A lot of guys in costumes. Actually, I love the Raider Nation, and I'll try and explain why. So they have every year a fan convention, and in 2011 was the first time I went to the fan convention. It was in downtown Oakland in the first weekend in November, and it was like 2 days after the massive Occupy general strike. So there's like, I get out of BART in Oakland, and there's still like tear gas canisters out. There's still police and riot gear everywhere. There's people, you know, there's spray paint and boards. And then there's the Raider fan convention. And it's like, what better setting? And then you step inside, and it's like, these guys are having a family reunion. This is a sweet, pleasant group where people of all ages and races and genders are getting along, and they're hugging each other, like emotionally, like long lost brothers.
But beyond your normal family reunion, you mentioned they were costumed. I mean, this is sort of like the bar scene in Star Wars at the same time. So what are the people who like really show up in the black hole? What are they wearing?
So They're hugging each other. But on the other hand, some of the hugs are difficult because they are in, like, say, a giant predator costume or a really elaborate gorilla costume with these giant beads, like New Orleans Mardi Gras style beads around his neck and a striped Cat in the Hat top hat.
There's the guy with the spiked shoulder
the
pads. There's another head coming. That guy's named the Violator?
The Violator, he goes by, yeah. Right. Actually, my great story about this is that Gorilla Rilla, who I met and just adored, a really, really sweet guy.
You went to lunch with him.
Right? I went to lunch with him, yeah, and his fiance, who goes by Jungle Jane, at the time. So they got married over the summer, and High Roller Raider is there with his monster truck, and Dem Raider Boys sang the wedding march, which was a hip-hop anthem that they have written for the Raider Nation. The Violator was the best man in costume. The Gorilla was in costume. Jungle Jane was in a lovely wedding dress with Gorilla Rilla bling. And you can look this up on YouTube, by the way. and the pastor was the pastor of Raiders for Christ. It was just this elaborate family wedding. And it gets into actually this super interesting psychology where they talk about kind of your social identity versus your self-concept. So you have this idea of who I am, but you also have this idea of what group I'm in, who I am a part of as a group. And for the Raider Nation, it's almost much more important to be part of this group. A lot of, you know, the first thing a lot of them say, you sit down and you ask them a question. It's like, well, I don't really like the word fan. I'm not really a fan of this team. This is my life. This is my family. The Raider Nation will live no matter where the team is, no matter whether the team wins or loses. Like, they play 16 games a year. My passion is all year.
That's Eric Simmons. He is the author of The Secret Lives of Sports Fans, The Science of Sports Obsession. So we began by asking about what your least favorite sports moment ever was. And you don't actually mention in the book what your very favorite sports moment was. So I want to give you the chance to reflect on that for a minute and then tell me what that one was.
Oh, the very favorite. I'm not sure how well it reflects on me, but this is probably about as good as you're going to feel. I did talk about it in the book. I just didn't identify it as my favorite because it's a lot of people's favorite, at least in my tribe, which is the 2009 Cal-Stanford big game in football, which took place in Palo Alto. It was a very unheralded Cal team. They were middle of the pack. It was a very good and obviously up-and-coming Stanford team. And so you're watching this game and Cal's hanging on to this lead and Stanford is clearly going down to win it in the last few minutes. And as obvious as it was that we were going to win that game that we ended up losing, it was obvious that Stanford was going to win this game. They were unstoppable. And for whatever reason, Jim Harbaugh calls a pass for Andrew Luck, who throws a bad pass, probably the only bad pass he threw in his entire college career, throws it right to a Cal player who intercepts it and falls down on the ground. And there was just this stunned moment of euphoria where it's like, we just won. And I'm trying not to scream the things that we were screaming, but holy shit, we just won. And it was just, and there's a lot of signs that the more unpredicted a result, the more dopamine in the brain. And this was just this utter dopamine blowout. It felt so amazing and so unexpected and so just euphoric for 24 hours after this. It was just, I woke up the next morning giggling. And it felt great.
That's Eric Simmons, author of The Secret Lives of Sports Fans, The Science of Sports Obsession. He spoke with KALW's Ben Trefney. Coming up, we'll find out where this next sound was recorded in this bonus round of the Audiograph game. I'm Holly Kernan, and with me is Rob Bedeker of the San Francisco comedy troupe Casper Hauser, and we just got a behind-the-science look at superfans in that last interview. And I want to say, Rob, that we here at KALW are superfans of yours.
Well, thank you. The feeling is mutual.
Yeah? What do you like about KALW?
I like that at any hour I can turn on the radio, find something interesting, relevant. It's local. It pertains to my life. It's engaged, engaging. It keeps me going.
That's excellent. That's wonderful. Well, I think you know, and our listeners know, that we're in this Shorter is Better spring membership campaign, and we're inviting our listeners to become members of this station. And yeah, we want to invite people.
Yeah, I think that now is the time to, I know it's all about positive energy, but I do want to remind people of a responsibility they have. And I'm talking to you, Richard. Richard, do you hear me? You. Yes, you. Richard, pick up the phone. Get online, kalw.org. Do the right thing. Do it now. 800-525-9917.
And you can do it by donating $100 if that works. We have people who donate $1,000. $10 a month is $120.
$10 a month?
$120. That's a pretty good way to do it,
don't you think? Think of all the
things. What are you going to donate, Rob?
I think I'm going to do the $10 a month. That seems totally reasonable. There are a lot of things I spend $10 a month on.
We're going to fill out his membership form as we do the show today. So Rob has just become a member of KALW.
Fill it out for me?
I'm going to fill it out for you, like as if you were on the phone, right? That's how we do it.
That's amazing.
Although you could go to kalw.org, you fill it out for yourself, and you can choose whatever thank you gift.
Is it easy?
It is so easy. You could actually pull it up on that computer that you have open, and you could see how you could do it right now, Rob. And so could you if you're listening, kalw.org. We have some amazing incentives. And I was just issued a challenge grant from Luai Bilal and Hana Baba, my co-host, along with the Trefneys, Sharon and John Trefney, in Golden, Colorado, all the way from Colorado. They are challenging other members, other listeners, to become members. And actually, if we can get, I think it's 20 people and $2,500, we get an extra $800. What do you say to that, Rob?
That seems totally doable and reasonable and a great opportunity for you, Tim. Tim? Yes, you, Tim. Tim, go to kalw.org right now.
And here's another incentive. There's more. Yeah, but wait, there's more. You can get Casper Hauser's book, Earn Your MBA on the Toilet, for a pledge of $100 or more. So that $120 level, you get this Earn Your MBA on the Toilet. Rob Bedeker is going to give us another lesson from that book. But I want to give out the number again, 800-525-9917. This is a great gift for any graduate. Coming up, we're in that season right now. This is a perfect gift.
Yeah, it really pays for itself. And when you, one of the things you learn in Earn Your MBA on the Toilet is you got to spend money to make money. You give a pledge to KALW, it starts paying for itself. You get the book, you learn some business skills, you get a job. Pretty soon your company is going public. I don't care what you're making.
That's the essential trajectory.
Yeah, it's just put one foot in front of the other.
Become a member and your company will go public relatively soon.
Pretty soon there are going to be buildings named after you. You have your own jet.
this is sounding like a really good deal. KALW.org. What else do you have to say about this book?
A lot of people don't understand the difference between microeconomics and macroeconomics. We boil that down for you. And we talk about microeconomics, which is an economics practice by tiny race of people, no bigger than a walnut shell. They have all the same kind of banks, all the same kind of accounting, but they're little tiny people. That's the kind of insight you're going to get. I'm not going to spoil what macroeconomics is.
Please don't spoil that for us.
But you're going to come away with skills. You're going to come away with earning potential. You're going to get out of your mom's basement if you're living there, and if you want to get out, and you're going to start making a name for yourself.
Okay, all of this is yours. KALW.org or call 525-9917. It's a toll-free number. It's an 800 number. And if you get 200 or above, you can get all three of these books, The Fear Project that we heard about in the first story, The Secret Lives of Sports Fans that we heard about in the second story, and Rob Bedeker's book with Casper Hauser, Earn Your MBA on the Toilet. That is a very good deal. You support your public radio station, local independent public radio, KALW.org. So if you were listening closely to that last interview, you might have gotten a clue about the audiograph game, the special spring Cross Currents edition of our membership edition of this audiograph game. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you one more chance. Let's hear this sound really quickly and see if Rob can guess it.
I got it.
He's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it. Okay.
It's the meditation retreat at the Green Gulch Farm.
That is so close. That is really close.
You're saying I'm wrong?
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're so close to being right is what I'm saying
to you.
Thank you.
Thank
you,
Holly.
So let's do the reveal here. We sent KALW's Chris Hoff to a San Jose Earthquakes game. It's a soccer game.
I'm not a sports guy.
But that's the beauty about public radio is you can learn all of these different things, right? So Chris Hoff is going to bring us the story of one of the Bay Area's most ardent groups of super fans, the 1906 Ultras.
My name is Ronaldo Rodriguez, and we're in Buck Shaw Stadium in Santa Clara, California.
How long have you been doing this? How long have you been part of the Ultras?
Myself since 2009, 4 years.
Yeah. How did you get into it? What made you want to get into it?
Just the passion. It's like I thought I loved the Quakes, and then I saw how much the Ultras, I saw the passion that they had for the Quakes, and it's like I gotta be with these guys. And it's like, you know, I've never gone back. My daughter knows all the songs. And
what's your favorite song? Do you have a favorite song?
Since I was born, I had a dream to be here every day, representing for my team. Oh, San Jose.
Oh, San Jose.
Yeah, you know it too. Yeah. There's absolutely no other way that I can express, you know, my love for the Quakes than being an Ultra. And I may be an Ultra until, quite literally, until the way the song goes, until I die. This, I can't imagine stopping being one. I couldn't imagine my life not being an Ultra.
Holly Kernan, and you're listening to Cross Currents, and a lot of you called in for that special bonus audiograph for our spring membership drive, and our winner is, can you give me a drum roll, please, Rob? Dan Solario. Congratulations to Dan. Woo!
Way to go, Dan.
All right. Because he is such a super fan, we're going to send him a Cross Currents t-shirt, and that's not all, an audiograph poster. Thank you, Dan, for playing our game, and thanks to everybody else who played our game. And we're playing another game today, which is called Become a KALW Member. And I'm here with my co-host on this special edition of Cross Currents. It's Rob Bedeker of the comedy troupe Casper Hauser, local comedy troupe here. And he is an expert on all things public radio. And one of the things that he loves to do is parody or imitate some of his favorite public radio hosts and luminaries. Who's some of your favorites?
Yeah, that's true, Holly. My hobbies are gardening, music, and parodying a public radio host. But there's one public radio host that I think we're all familiar with, Act One, Social Loafing. John and his friends had started a Friday night dinner and pizza party, pepperoni, mushroom, pitchers of beer, that kind of thing. After a few weeks, something funny happened. They noticed the bill always came up short. John raised his stink about it. One of his friends, Harold, built the old abacus using hamster tubes. And they figured out it was the same guy not paying its part of the bill every time. It turned out the guy was John. The killer was in the basement. He was social loafing, relying on other people to pay their part. John did a lot of what we all do, expecting that he could get by without paying. Public radio depends on you not social loafing. Call now, 1-800-525-9917, KLW. I'm Mario Glass.
And this is Cross Currents. It could be This American Life. I mean, that was a darn good impression.
If you close your eyes, it's hard to tell.
It's really hard. It's hard to tell. Yeah,
don't close your eyes if you're driving. But
otherwise, close your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine that we're here with Ira, and Ira is saying, become a KALW member. Ira, really?
Here's the thing. Act two, nobody else is going to do it. A lot of us think that we can just sink into our chair and disappear. Angela was one of those people. For 20 years, she listened to public radio. Never contributed. And one day, she disappeared. She turned into cobweb crystal fairy dust and blew away into her chair.
So the perils of not donating to public radio are immense. Like a maverick wave, you could almost say.
It's kind of like here's the thing. It's kind of like Act 3, not my responsibility. Susan listens to public radio every day. She never thought that she would have to pay for it, that other people would have to. Susan was wrong. And one day, her radio stopped working. Forever.
That could happen. So here's how you could make sure that that never happens, right, Ira? If you call 1-800-525-9917 or you go to kalw.org.
kalw.org. Pledge now.
And the number, we have people standing by, sitting by, waiting for your call, just for your call. I mean, the phone has a name on it. One of them probably is your name. They literally have names on them, Rob. This is not figurative. 1-800-525.
Wait a minute. The phones have names?
The phones have names. Yes, we name our phones. You've noticed it's a little bit idiosyncratic around
here. That's what I love about this place. You guys have style. You guys have panache. And, you know, everything is interesting, different. This is the kind of place you want to support. I mean, take the opportunity and you're going to feel so good.
800-525-9917 or go to kalw.org. I have amazing news, Rob.
Yeah.
Amazing news. Are you ready for this news?
I'm ready.
We have reached $200,000 in our Shorter is Better Have Fun membership drive. People are cheering in. Oh, look at this. Everybody's
wow.
There's open phone lines. That means we're...
Oh, because their hands still are open. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 1-800-525-9917. We have just a few seconds left in the program to make this match, and we're not quite there. So how are you going to get 10 more people to go to kalw.org or to go to the phones? This is very important, Rob. This is going to kind of test your career in public radio.
I want to lead you through an exercise. Imagine yourself going online to kalw.org or calling 800-525-9917. Visualize picking up the phone, logging on, and then feel your body doing that thing. It's in you. It's in the power of your mind. You can do it.
And there's a challenge. So if you pledge right now $100, that's $900 because we have this challenge. $800 more is added to your donation.
You have power. You have more power than you know. Step into your potential. Do it now.
And Susan called because you spoke directly
called.
To her. So speak directly to a lot. Can we use a lot of different names?
Susan.
Ricardo, Maria. We're talking to you right
Tim,
now.
Tim, Jesus, Jesse, Rick, James, Tom.
Give out the number. Oh, tell them about these books.
Listen, Linda, you can get 3 books right now. Linda. Stop, Linda. Sit down. Go on. Linda, yes.
She's
That's
doing
right.
it.
Right. Linda, thank you.
I see an open line. An open line. I don't know whose name is on the phone. Tell me whose
Howard.
Name.
Howard, don't go outside to take out the trash just now. Wait a minute and pledge. Howard, wait. There you go. You can do it. It's going to feel great.
Okay, we're a few seconds away. 800-525-9917. Don't you want to feel great?
Luisa, you are the one.
Mom?
Mom. Is your name Mom? Do people call you Mom or Dad? It's your big day. It's your moment. You can do it. You're going to feel great. We're going to feel great.
And for moms and dads, man, we have this great thank you gift. Earn your MBA on the toilet. This is valuable for any graduate, high school, junior high, even college, because you can get an MBA, right? Your kid might be saying, hey, Mom, I should go to grad school.
There's another level in your life that you may... might not even
100
see
bucks or more gets you this book. 200 bucks or more gets you all three of these books. You could
all
do
three.
Your shopping for like the rest of the year today, right now.
You're going to have an amazing night if you do this.
Okay, we need to make this challenge, Robin. We are not there. I want to tell you a story. Listen to this. Somebody called in and wrote, KALW is the best. Love the local news, arts, fresh air. Plus, we heard this great band on KALW, Tin Cup Serenade, got in touch with them, and they played at our wedding last Saturday.
That's incredible.
That is the kind of connection you
That's
make
a real
with
story?
Local. That is a real story.
Peter, Tim. Tim, did you call yet? Tim, we see you. We know you're there. Tim, do it now, Tim. And John, I don't think, John, that you've called yet. Can you live with this, John? Do
There's
you want to be?
Open line, 1-800-525-9917.
John,
we have 60 seconds, 59.
John, put your fingers on the keypad, on the keyboard. John, you can do it. You can make yourself proud. You can make us all proud. You can contribute. You can be a part of something bigger.
No ring.
John, don't disappoint us, John.
Okay, I'm going to go with the good cop. Go to kalw.org because you love KALW, because you support public media, and we love you too, and we'll tell you so when you call.
If you could see the look on Holly's face, it's beatific. It's.
I really want to get this match.
Yeah,
desperate.
It's desperate, but it's positive.
It's
good. It's a good cop desperate.
800-525, 15 seconds, 800-525-9917.
Come on, John.
Rob, your career in public radio depends on whether you can get that phone to ring. 6 seconds.
This is the time. John, do it now.
We are off.